Well, greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 120 countries worldwide over the Internet. Now, for more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Once again, that's georgegordon.org or org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on sea energy agriculture when we come back. You know, the income tax and Social Security programs are not compatible with our traditional American values, and that's because these two programs are the second and the eighth planks to the Communist Manifesto. And these programs call for a heavy progressive income tax in place of tithing. And Social Security is a social welfare scheme that takes the place of strict liability and individual responsibility. The income tax requires of us that we serve two masters in violation of Matthew 6, verse 24. The income tax requires of us that we rob God in violation of Malachi 3, verse 8. This income tax requires of us that we commit idolatry in violation of Exodus 20, verse 3. This income tax requires of us that we use unjust weights and balances in violation of Leviticus 19, verses 35 and 36. And this income tax requires that we sign contracts with foreign and alien gods in violation of Exodus 23, verses 32 and 33. Social Security violates the strict liability statute in Exodus 21, verses 28 through 36. And Social Security violates the 10th commandment by appealing to our lust and greed, and then we're taught to call that income redistribution, but the scripture calls it covetousness in violation of Exodus 20, verse 17. Now, you know, the God of Israel gave us a better way of life than that. Our founding fathers at the Constitutional Convention in 1787 wrote in a better way than that into our Constitution, and that's why I contend that you and I ought to learn and practice that better way. Now, if you'd like more information about tax and status, call us here at the law school. The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. While you're at it, be sure to ask for our free general law CD package. That's a four-hour commentary on the law school. It's entertaining, it's educational, it's informative, and best of all, it's free. That's the place to start. Our Tax and Status School is available on compact disc for adult home education. And if you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org. Click on to our archives page, and you can download that free general law CD package right there, georgegordon.org. All right, we are reviewing a book called Sea Energy Agriculture, written by a medical doctor. His name is Maynard Murray, M.D. And Dr. Murray started this project back in 1932 by trying to inject a toad with cancer, and he couldn't do it. And what he found out was that animals that are full of minerals don't get diseased, and it's worse than that. You can't even give them the disease. How do you like that? So in trying to inject cancer into this toad, he found that the toad wouldn't accept the cancer, but it rejected it. And he's looking around and said, well, why is that? I mean, it's one thing to be lucky enough to avoid cancer. It's something else, again, to try to inject cancer into the toad, and it won't grow there. The toad's immune system simply killed the cancer, and he went on about his business. Now, that's called your immune system. And in the Bible, we find that that's precisely the modality that is prescribed for good health, and that is good food. So in Leviticus chapter 11 and Deuteronomy chapter 14 are two chapters that deal with food. It's not the first and last word on food, but it deals with a thing called unclean meat. Unclean meat. Now, a lot of people, they look at that and they say, well, if it's dirty, then we'll just wash it off. Or if it's unclean, we'll just pray over it and we'll make it clean. Well, unfortunately, you can't pray over pig and make it clean, and you don't need to wash it off. That's not the problem with it. It's the chemical content of the meat that you're eating. Now, here's a neat little thingy. We used to think that meat was meat, or that flesh is flesh. Oh, no. Used to be, in times past, when somebody was charged with murder and they had blood on them, and they said, well, see, that blood came from the victim. The guy would say, no, I killed a chicken, that's chicken blood. And we couldn't tell the difference between chicken blood and human blood, but that's past. We can do it now. We can tell the difference between chicken blood and human blood. We can tell the difference between beef and pork and chicken and human. All flesh has different chemical compounds that are expressed in it. Now, as a result of that, God, that's your creator now, he came along and he said, now, you ought not to eat this, and you should eat this, and don't eat that, but do eat this. And that's because of the chemicals and the vitamins and the minerals and the content of the foodstuff. Now, that's not the first and last word on it, but that's a part of the story. Now, another part of the story is this. You cannot get the nutrients out of the food that you eat unless the nutrients are in that food to begin with. So let's take an example. Let's go into McDonald's and let's order some French fries. Now, those French fries are going to have some nutrients in it. Not many, but some. Most of the nutrients in a potato are contained in its skin or in the area directly below the skin. And the further you get into the potato, the less nutrients you have. Less. So the trick to this thing then is to peel the potato, then eat the peelings, and throw the potato away. That's where the nutrients are. So when we go over to a place like Hunza, and that's in Nepal, and we look at these people called Hunzas, these people eat whole barley. Now here in America, we don't do that. That's really gross. So we take the barley into a refining plant, and we peel off that outer hull. And then we take what's left, the white starch in the middle, and then we make barley flour, and then we go out and we make barley cakes, or we make wheat, and we do the same thing to oats and wheat and barley and flax and so on. And then we take all the nutrients and we feed that to our cattle. All right, that's what's happening with McDonald's. Nice guys that they are. But they don't want to feed us potato peelings. Now, if they did, they'd probably be doing us a big service. But they don't, and they won't, and they haven't, and they aren't going to. Because they've got a program that produces spectacular profits by feeding us foodless food that tastes real good. And after all, that's why we eat, is because it tastes good. Good food doesn't taste good. Bad food tastes good. That's why Hershey's chocolate bars taste good and broccoli tastes so bad. Now, I don't know why God did it that way. I'm just reporting to you that that's the way he did it. So that's why York peppermint patties taste so good, broccoli, cauliflower, and Brussels sprouts taste so bad. And that's why most people don't eat very much in the way of broccoli, Brussels sprouts, and cabbage. But we do eat a lot of French fries and we eat a lot of meat. And the meat we eat is laced with fat, 30% when you go into the hamburger joint. 30% fat now is what causes this high cholesterol, obesity, and bad health in general, heart attack, stroke, and a whole host and plethora of other diseases like diabetes. Now, if you wanted to solve that problem, then we'd have to change our eating habits. Now, most people are not of a mind to do that. And I'm certainly not here to get you to change your eating habits because, son, I don't care what you eat or how much of it you eat or whether it's got nutrients in it or not. My job is to report facts. And so I dug up this book from Acres USA, and I said, gee, let me tell you these facts. So that's what we're in the process of doing. Now, I'd like to take the credit for all of this, but I'm not smart enough, and so I'm going to be honest and upfront with you and tell you I didn't write this book. The guy that wrote it, his name was Maynard Murray. Maynard Murray. And it would be totally forgotten if Acres USA hadn't resurrected it, because there's nobody out there interested in the information contained here. Exxon doesn't want it. Monsanto doesn't want it. Cargill, Archer Daniels Midland. There isn't anybody out there in the real world. There's no farmers out there that are interested in this. There are just a handful of us out there that want to see if we can beat cancer, heart attack, and stroke. And boy, those are precious few. So for the few of us that do, then write this down. And it's called Acres USA. They're at Post Office Box 91, 299 in Austin, Texas. And their zip code is 78709. If you don't subscribe, then you should. And that's because every month, this is the publication that gives you the books. They've got a bookstore. They give you the advertisers and the sources for picking out open pollinated seed or for finding these sea minerals, commercial operations. And I'm not going to give you the commercial operations. That's advertising. We try to avoid that as much as we can here on the Law Hour. But the point that I'm making is that Acres USA is a commercial publication, and they advertise other commercial operations that do carry these sea salts. So I wanted to tell you there's a place for you to get them, and I want to tell you why it is that you want them. And that came from Murray's book. Now remember, this is www.acresusa.com. That's all one word. That's our website, www.acresusa.com. Post Office Box 91-299, Austin, Texas, 78709. That's P.O. Box 91-299, Austin, Texas, 78709. Now, the book here is called Sea Energy Agriculture. The author, Maynard Murray, M.D. Tell him you want a copy of the book. Call him up and ask him what the price is before you send off for it. And I think you'll be tickled to death from the information that you get. This is a 1 in 100 book. You'll read 100 books and you won't find this in any of the 99. Going on, he says, it's extremely interesting to carefully examine the biological activity in the sea. One cubic foot of ocean water sustains many more times the number of living organisms, plants, and animals than does the equivalent amount of soil. Seawater is literally alive, especially where the temperature of the water is warm. Of special interest is the fact that the aging process does not appear to occur in the oceans. A comparison between the cells of a huge adult whale with cells taken from a newly born whale will show no evidence of the chemical changes observed when comparing cells of an adult and a newborn land mammal. There are some denizens of the sea that apparently never cease growing. One need only compare the size between land turtles and sea turtles to realize the tremendous difference. Some zoologists would claim they are turtles of different species, but I disagree, and I'm fully convinced that the difference in size and longevity is due to the complete, balanced chemistry provided by the sea environment. There is no chronic disease to be found among fish and animal life in the oceans that compares to those on land. Science is aware that nearly all individual cells in an animal's body are replaced during the process of cell division. In man, for example, most of the cells are replaced within about 18 months. If the requirements for certain elements are not supplied by the food ingested, as cell division occurs, dilution becomes apparent until these critical elements are non-existent in the organism. This shortage of essential elements does not occur in the ocean. Why aren't these vital elements in our food? Well, you and I cannot tell by looking at a carrot or a tomato that the essential elements are missing. However, molecular biologists find substantial differences between two vegetables from the same species. A plant can grow to maturity and yet make dangerous substitutions of elements in its structure due to its chemical attempts to compensate for an imbalance of the proper elements that are supposed to be contained in the soil. If our cells, in turn, must compensate for this dilution or lack of elements, then they lose their resistance to disease. Remember, our bodies are host to an enormous number of microbes that eagerly pounce when the slightest breakdown in cell function occurs. To me, it is only logical that the cause of our frightening increases in chronic disease and sorrowful process of aging is the absence of a complete, balanced physiological chemistry. If the necessary elements are not found in our food, where are they to be found? Certainly, nature has provided them. The answer is that they have departed from our soils due to continuous taking of crops and the process of erosion. Let me pause right here. Let me put my famous arrow in the margin. In Leviticus 25, there is a whole chapter that deals with land Sabbaths and Jubilees. Once every 7 years, we're instructed that we're to let the land rest. This land rest, or land Sabbath as it's called in Scripture, is for the purpose of fertilization of the soil. And the way it works is very simple. You see, you've got a cherry tree growing out here. And the cherries, we pick them every year, and we take them in and we eat them. So the nutrients that are in the cherries have been taken out of the soil, and they've been removed and taken in. We eat them. The waste from our bodies is flushed down the toilet into the Mississippi River for the people in St. Louis, and on down the river into the oceans where they ultimately, that is the nutrients, that is the elements, these trace elements, are then suspended in the seawater. Well, now in the process of doing that, the land under the tree has been deprived of those nutrients. So the designer of this process says, okay, here's what we're going to do. Once every 7 years, you don't pick the cherries. You just let them fall on the ground. Then the carbolic acid that's in the roots combined with the breakdown, that is the bacteria and the worms and the various microbes that are in the soil, come in and they eat that fruit. That fruit then is digested and put back into the soil. The carbolic acid then has one whole year to develop more nutrients out of the inorganic soils, the sand particles and the rock in the soil. And the combination of that once every 7 years is enough to keep the soil in perfect balance with all of the minerals, all of the vitamins that are designed for that fruit to contain for you to eat. Then there are two extra land Sabbaths that are added every 100 years. They're called Jubilee years. So on the 49th and 50th and the 99th and 100th year, in the 100-year cycle, you actually have a total of 16 land Sabbath years, of which four of them were back-to-back. And in the process of doing this, you disrupt the insect cycle so that insects do not eat your plants. And the plants have all of the nutrients in the soil that they need to produce 100% of the vitamins and minerals that you need to live on. Now, we don't practice land Sabbaths and Jubilees anywhere in the world. And if you do, I've never heard of it. I don't know of anybody that does. No society, no nation, no group, no peoples that I know of practice these land Sabbaths and Jubilees, not even the Jews, who are the proponents of the Scripture. Now, there are some individuals out there that do. I'm one of them. But I'm about as rare as hen's teeth that practice these land Sabbaths and Jubilees. Now, the next land Sabbath is due in 2012, and then the Jubilee is 2013. 2012, 2013. We're reaching, we're just about to go into a Jubilee year. It occurs from the scriptures that the years 13 and 63 out of every 100-year period under our Gregorian calendar now are land, are Jubilee years. And every 7 years, this will be 2012, and so you just add, you know, 13 and start your cycle over, 2020, 27, 33, you know, and so on down the line until you get up to 63 again. And those will be your land Sabbath years. Now, you can do it naturally, which is what the scripture instructs. Or in the case that you've been breaking the law for a long time, or you want to get back in harmony with it, and you need to put these minerals back into the soil to build as much of the soil as possible. Put these minerals back in, you can actually buy it. There are companies that are making it now out of seawater, sorting out and separating the sodium chloride. That's so you can sell that to McDonald's and spread it on your streets to melt your ice in the wintertime and rust your cars out. So that's what they use sodium chloride for. And then the minerals they take and put in animal blocks and feed it to our cattle. Or they, like as not, sell it to the French, you feed it to their cattle. Now, with that much in mind, if the necessary elements are not found in our food, then where are they? Well, certainly nature has provided them. The answer is that they have departed from our soils due to the continuous taking of crops and the process of erosion. Most crops utilize an average of 40 elements from the soil. In no case do fertilizers add more than 12 back. And most commercial fertilizers add a maximum of 6 elements. The singular most devastating source of depletion of soil is water leaching, even on relatively level land. Tremendous leaching occurs and has been taking place for thousands of years. Ultimately, the various leached elements, because they're in water solution, flow down into the sea. Now, I once stood near the mouth of the Mississippi River, and I watched the muddy outpouring into the Gulf. Within 24 hours, the mighty Mississippi deposits topsoil, that is the equivalent to a 120-acre farm, into the sea. It is not enough to merely control gully erosion, which is widely recognized as the major problem faced by soil scientists today. If all erosion were halted at this instant, we would still have soil that is seriously depleted of the balance of elements required by body cells. So now that was quite a little story right there. The Mississippi River puts a 120-acre farm out into the ocean every day. That's 365 120-acre farms that are put out into the ocean every year by erosion. Isn't that just special? Now, in addition to that, all of the minerals from everybody else's soil that hasn't been washed out yet is going down the creeks and the rivers. You know, not all of it, but a lot of it. And that's why the ocean is so rich in minerals and the land is so poor in minerals. It's poor in minerals because we won't practice land Sabbaths and Jubilees. And the chemical companies are selling us fertilizers that produce wonderful crops. I mean, they produce 120, 130 bushels of corn to the acre, nice green plants, wonderful big kernels of corn. The only problem with these big kernels of corn is that they don't have any nutrients in them, or the nutrients are really, really deficient. Now, a guy by the name of Adolf Steinbrum of Fairbanks, Iowa, put this matter into perspective by having samples of corn tested for nutrients that are usually added to commercial feeds. And when compared to more than 4,000 samples of hybrid corn, which was tested in 10 Midwest states in a recent year, Steinbrum's open-pollinated corn contained 75% more crude protein, 875% more copper, 345% more iron, and 205% more manganese, and the same result was also seen in the content of calcium, sodium, magnesium, and zinc. And in the opinion of many ecologic farmers, this hybrid seed merely masks poor farming practices by producing bins and bushels of foodless food without the nutrients that are really food's reason for being in the first place. So the farmer is paid for his 120 bushels of corn, not for the amount of trace elements or nutrients contained in that corn. So he doesn't have any incentive to put these trace elements on his land. He doesn't need them. Now, the chemical company that's turning out this fertilizer, the chemical fertilizers, they don't get paid a dime more for putting these elements into their fertilizer, and they don't need them to make the plants grow big, tall, and healthy. So why should they? And not only why should they don't. So then it's up to just a handful of us loonies out here, you know, the fringe, for us to say, well, what would be better for our customers and what would be better for our own personal health? Now, I'm really not concerned about your health So I didn't come on the air and spend my money to save your life. That's not our purpose either. I'm interested in saving my own life, and so I put it on my own soil because I produce my own food, and because I'm producing my own food, then I want the best food that money can produce. Then, as a collateral matter, when I sell a cow to somebody or when I sell some produce to somebody, my produce happens to have all those nutrients in it because I wanted it for myself. Then, as a result, you are the beneficiary. Now, if perchance you can find some farmer someplace who has some earnest desire, some reason why he wants to save mankind, and he wants to put this fertilizer on his field so that he can save your life, sell you a better product, God love him, but it's not my motivation, and it's not the motivation of any other farmers that I know, and it's certainly not the motivation of the chemical corporations or Monsanto or the seed companies. So if you think there's anybody out there looking out for you, I think you better wake up and smell the coffee. Now, you might want to think about yourself. So in the process of thinking about yourself, let me tell you the name and number of the one outfit that carries the kind of information that you need to save yourself, and that's Acres USA. Now, their phone number is 1-800-355-5513. That's 1-800-355-5513. Toll free. Don't cost you anything. Call them. And they've got a web page, and it's called acresusa.com. It's all one word, A-C-R-E-S-USA.com. And they're located at Post Office Box 91299, Austin, Texas. Austin, Texas. That's here in the United States. Zip code is 78709. Zip code is 78709. Now, if you live in France or South Korea or someplace else, it'll be well worth your while. They'll charge you a couple bucks extra to ship it over to South Korea, but it's well worth the money. The magazine is 12 issues once a month, probably 100 pages. Let me look. I got one right here. Let me see how many pages are in here. 90. Lied to you. 90 pages. And I'm looking at the December 2009 issue, I believe. Yep, that's what it is, December 2009 here. And they put on a big conference every year. Happened to be in St. Paul, Minnesota. They do it in December every year. You might want to go there and talk to some of the people that have their commercial operations there. And I told you about this one. This SEA 90, 100% natural sea mineral solids, since that's what this book is about. But hey, listen, they've got dairy feed in here, and they've got animal feeds. They've got fertilizer for soil rebuilding, and they've got all kinds of organic materials. They've got composters. Oh, they're just everybody that's in the organic business is advertising their hardware or their products, feeds, fertilizer, seeds, etc. And if you're wondering, well, where would I buy a truckload of organic corn or soybeans? Acres USA, I'll have it in there. Or if you're wondering, well, where can I buy organic soybeans? Who grows organic soybeans in my area? Or who grows organic pinto beans or any other kind of beans? Well, Acres USA has subscribers all over the world. And they can tell you, well, here's a guy here that grows corn, soybeans, cotton, etc. in Mississippi or California or wherever it happens to be that you want. And why don't you call this guy or that guy or somebody else? That's why I said, why don't you get on to www.cagri.com. That's CEAGRI.com, or call them. Here's their phone number at 770-361-7003. Now, I've never bought anything from them yet. I think I'll give them a call myself, because once I saw this book, and then I went to Acres to find out if there's anybody else that can get me these sea minerals, because, see, I'm here in Missouri. It's not very likely that I'm going to go down to Tallahassee, Florida, get out on the beach, suck up some seawater, and sort out the minerals from it. That isn't my business. That isn't what I'm going to do. So I need to have somebody that does that and can sell me the product so that I can put it on my own soil. Now, that's what I intend to do, and I think I'll call this company here. They're not the only ones in here, by the way. There's several others. I just picked them because I happened to turn to page 36. Okay? That's the only reason. And I ain't telling you how much it's going to cost or what their program is. That's because I'm not promoting them. That's commercial. And remember, here on the Law Hour, we avoid commerce like AIDS, herpes, and VD. Not to say that that isn't the place that you might want to go to buy it. Now, let me give you a reminder here that you're listening to the Law Hour, an editorial review. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio worldwide. For more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org. The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, that's eight schools in all. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. Now, the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly, and it has our radio log schedule and archives. All of it can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the law school and asking for it. The number to call, 417-273-4967. Now, once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org, click onto the archives page, download it right there, georgegordon.org. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. The Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. Now, these endorsements, these recommendations that we give don't mean that the authors or the publications that we endorse will necessarily reciprocate. Keep in mind that most of these authors and publications cited here on the Law Hour may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review. Now, these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone, and they don't necessarily represent the views, beliefs, or the opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. So if you would like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or you can call the law school direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about Sea Energy Agriculture. It is a book written by Maynard Murray, M.D., and it has been resurrected, salvaged, and republished by Acres USA, and you can get a copy of the book from them. I do not know what the price is, and I got this one from a man who was interested in this, sent me a copy of it, and he said, why don't you read this, and I'm glad I did, because it's a barn burner. It is one of those very rare pieces of information that you run into in your life that has something really worthwhile, something that's really scientific, something that was really unheard of, and that ought to be in general practice, but isn't. And that's because the economic forces that are extant in our society take this kind of information and destroy it. It would be like a guy discovering a carburetor that would get 100 miles to the gallon. Well, the guy would be assassinated, that's the first thing. And then his carburetor would be quashed. And that's because the oil companies are in business to sell gasoline. They're not in business to save mankind or to save humankind from peak oil. Let's all wake up and smell the coffee. Now, for countless centuries, the vital elements have eroded off into the sea. What state are they in while mixed with our vast oceans? Analysis of seawater shows a constant proportional balance of all of the water-soluble elements. So if an excessive amount of any one element flows in due to erosion, it drops out to the bottom of the ocean. 3.5% by weight of the seawater is composed of sea salts or sea solids. Ocean water may taste salty, similar to our table salt, but careful examination reveals that sea solids are darker in color, and chemical analysis shows that all of the elements in the atomic table are present, with the possible exception of some of the gases. Now, I've used these sea solids as plant food in experiments to prove that these elements in perfect balance will grow chemically perfect plants. Note that I did not try to synthesize anything, but I took what nature already offered in suspension in the seawater. Now, my first experiments were conducted in 1938. Since then, I've carried out literally hundreds of experiments involving feeding plants nothing except sea solids mixed with tap water and a minor but fertilizing amount of a water-soluble nitrogen material such as ammonium, ammonium nitrate, sodium nitrate, potassium nitrate, and calcium nitrate, which form nitric ions when dissolved in aqueous solution. Now, invariably, the result has been the same: healthier, more productive crops. Early in the experimental game, I learned that hydroponics, which is feeding nutrients to plants without soil, gave me better control over the plant's diet. Dried natural sea solids were dissolved in plain water, using approximately 112 pounds of sea salts to 10,000 gallons of water, which is a very economical mix. The only nutrition that my experimental crops received were the sea solids in solution, which bathed their roots a few times each day. The plants flourished as no plants have flourished in the modern day of fertilized soils. The contrast in the experimental crops with the control crops grown by normal commercial methods was truly exciting. The taste difference was very significant, especially in tomatoes and carrots. The production rate was considerably higher, and the resistance to disease was especially apparent. All right, let me put a little mark right there. Let's take a look at this. Today, in America, we are practically using hydroponics as the sole methodology for growing our crops. We have so depleted our soils of nutrients that we use the soil merely as the medium to hold the roots in place while we feed a chemical diet to those plants in the field. And it works, and it works very well. But the hydroponic plants grown in the nutrient-depleted soils are only given about 20 of the 40 minerals that they need. They get about one half of what elements they need. In the case of Dr. Murray, who gave his plants, hydroponic plants, without putting them in any soil whatsoever, for the express purpose of seeing whether or not all of the elements necessary for their growth, for their disease resistance, and for their taste was contained in the sea solids, and the answer was yes. Now, we could do the same thing on land that Dr. Murray did in his hydroponic tanks. We could use our soil as the hydroponic soil holder of the roots, put these sea solids on the ground, and then let the rain do the rest and let the plants grow. And we will have a perfectly balanced soil ration in the soil. So to restore our soils of the nutrients, that is the chemical micronutrients, these sea salts solve that problem. Now, the second line of experimentation was to put these evaporated sea salts directly on the soil as fertilizer. We actually used up to as much as 3,000 pounds per acre. And I know that many eyebrows are going to be raising right now. 3,000 pounds to the acre. What they're trying to do here is see how much sea salts will destroy or salt it so that it won't grow anything. It'll sterilize the soil. Now, many people are familiar with the story of how the Romans destroyed the land around ancient Carthage with salt. And it's true that our table salt, in the amounts that we used as fertilizer, would be harmful to the plants, perhaps would even kill them or sterilize the soil. But in the presence of the other elements, as found in seawater, sodium and chloride are not toxic to plants. Actually, salt may be a necessary element for the absorption of the heavier elements. It is known that a saline solution will pick up a greater quantity and variety of elements than ordinary water solution. These elements in soil must be dissolved in water, since this is the only way they can be absorbed into the root system of the plant. So we planted fields side by side so that one experimental plot used sea solids mixed into the soil as fertilizer, and one field control plot used the best commercial methods available. The results were similar to those with the hydroponic system, and the sea solid fertilized crops grew faster, were healthier, and produced a far greater yield. The colors of the plants also differed, and a taste difference was very obvious. Animals, both wild and domestic, had no trouble determining which was better for them to eat, and one walk through a field of oats showed us a glimpse of animal heaven. Rabbits and mice scurried everywhere. And yet, the minute we stepped into the control area, where standard fertilizers had been used, it was almost lifeless, so far as the animals were concerned. We decided to play a game and put a little tape around some green stalks of field corn to identify them as having come from our experimental field. Then, we mixed the experimental with the control stalks, and then we placed them in the feedlot for cattle and sheep. Then we watched closely as the animals munched away, and it was immediately apparent which stalks they preferred, because after once sampling an experimental stalk, the animals would muzzle the burl into the pile of, and then find another stalk, ignoring the control stalks until they had no other choice. All right, so let's put a mark here and let's review that. With this new genetically modified corn, same experiments have been used and reported in Acres USA. When you take a bucket of GMO corn and you put it out free choice in front of a multitude of animals, walk over to another bin and throw out one of open pollinated corn. The animals in every experiment will eat the open pollinated first, every single time without exception. Now here's another little factoid. When a plant is nutritionally balanced with all of its trace elements, the insects won't eat it. So when you have corn borers in a particular location, and you put in open pollinated seed with trace elements, when the soil is balanced, the insects don't bother it, don't eat it. Now, that's what he discovered in 1932 when he went to inoculate a toad with cancer. He did. He inoculated the toad with cancer, but it had no effect on the toad because the toad could throw off the cancer. Its immune system would throw it off. Same thing is true here. When plants, chlorophyll plants, have all of the nutrients that they need, they ward off insects and disease. Now, in order for us to grow these nutritionally deficient plants, we must intervene. So we intervene with chemical pesticides. We don't let our land rest, so the land becomes nutritionally deficient. The corn plant then needs to improvise, and it produces a structurally deficient plant. In nature, in the real world, the corn borer will come in and destroy the plant. So we apply chemical pesticides to kill the corn borers. It works. Now, without the corn borers, the plant grows and produces corn, which is nutritionally deficient. And when you eat that nutritionally deficient corn, or nutritionally deficient anything, you and your body become nutritionally deficient. But in your body, now come the microbes out to attack those nutritionally deficient cells in your liver, in your pancreas. Then you develop disease, such as arterial sclerosis or atherosclerosis or diabetes or something else. Then the doctor comes along with pesticide, we call that antibiotics, in order to kill those bacteria. Well, wouldn't we be better served to eat better food so that our cells were strong and could ward off the bacterial infection to start with? I mean, wouldn't we be better off if we were to put the nutrients in the soil so that the corn could naturally, of its own immune system, ward off the corn borers? Seems like to me that that would be the more logical conclusion, and then we wouldn't have to spend money and time, effort, and energy spraying our fields to kill the corn borers, since they would simply starve to death because there wouldn't be any food for them to eat. Now, it's been reported that the reason the corn borers don't eat nutritionally good corn is because it's sweeter. And these insects don't like sweet, they like sour. And so as a result of that, when plants have all of the nutrients that they need, when we eat them, they're sweet, tasty, and delicious. Now, I can tell when a watermelon has been grown on chemical fertilizer and non-chemical fertilizer, the taste tells you the story. Most of you have probably never eaten an organic watermelon and wouldn't know the difference. But if you ever get an opportunity, try one. Spend the extra money and buy the organic produce, and then walk into the supermarket and buy a corresponding squash, pineapple, or whatever it happens to be. Take it home, cut the two open, keep them separate, taste one, taste the other, and you'll taste the difference. Guaranteed. Now, to further prove that animal instinct knows best, we treated a section of a clover field covering an area of about 100 square feet with sea solids. When the clover grew to around 6 inches, sheep were let out to graze. They walked and grazed until they came to the treated spot. Then they ate until the clover within the treated area was nubbed to the ground, nothing left. Feeding experiments with steers showed that they had greater weight gain while eating less of the experimental feed. Farmers ought to appreciate that. Although detailed accounts of our experiments have been covered, I want to share one further animal feeding test. We used 306 freshly hatched chicks and designated 153 control and 153 experimental. The experimental group was fed a commercial concentrate and oats along with corn and soybeans grown on sea salts treated soil. The control chicks were fed the same diet with the exception that all feed was grown on non-treated soil. At the end of 6 months, the experimental roosters weighed a full 1.5 pounds more than the control group. The experimental hens laid eggs for the first time fully 1 month earlier than the control hens and also exhibited a phenomenon amazing to anyone who is familiar with laying hens or chickens. Not a single experimental hen laid a pullet-sized or small egg. All of the experimental eggs were of firm shell and large size, and during one complete year of careful observation, the experimental chickens exhibited perfect health. They were free from all disease, and furthermore, they remained calm when approached by the workmen. The control chickens were nervous when approached by the flock tender. They exhibited a disease such as slip tendons and worms, and several died of unknown causes. None of the experimental chickens died. Similar advantages to food grown with sea salts were seen in experiments with laboratory rats. The control rats showed less weight gain per pound of food and sustained definite eye disease. The experimental rats, on the other hand, exhibited sleek coats, were apparently immune to the eye disease that afflicted the others, and showed a marked uniform weight gain on less food. We then conducted a similar experiment with mice bred to develop breast cancer, and the experimental mice failed to develop the cancer, and they lived significantly longer. Well, I could relate to that. I mean, after all, if you don't develop cancer, you will probably live longer. Now, these experiments by Dr. Murray, conducted back in the 1930s and 40s, were written, and he put this out to the major commercial enterprises like Monsanto and OrthoGrow for absolutely no good reason. They rejected it. Finally, by the 1980s, Dr. Murray died, and when he died, his work died with him. Nobody was interested in these C solids or the work that he had accomplished for more than 40 years. Then Acres USA picked up on his work, and they republished it, and that's what I'm reporting on right now. Acres USA, phone number is 1-800-355-5513. Again, that's 1-800-355-5513. You need a subscription to Acres USA. They're located at www.acresusa.com. Again, www.acresusa.com. Or you can find them if you want to write to P.O. Box 91299, Austin, Texas, 78709. Again, Post Office Box 91299, Austin, Texas, 78709. Take this phone number down if you want a company that deals in sea salts. It's 770-361-7003. Again, that's 770-361-7003. The company is called cagri.com. Hey, I'm out of time again. I'm going to give you a final reminder here that you've been listening to the Law Hour, an editorial review. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. For more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals but by prearrangement. Now, the Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly and has a radio log schedule and archives, and all of it can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Well, there's the signal that says our time's up. We've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.